that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. We talked really mostly last time about the Lord's mercies and his compassion. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. And then this goes on with the 23rd verse, speaking about his great faithfulness. But also, in that very first part of the 23rd verse, it says, they are new every morning, speaking about the Lord's mercies. And I was interested in that word, the word that's translated new there. It means fresh or a new thing. And I thought about how that particular word fresh, that was pretty interesting to me. Every morning when we get up, God's mercies are fresh. And there's nothing like something fresh. I mean, we know this, right? Whether you're talking about, you know, fruits and vegetables or even linens that have just come out of the laundry, things that are fresh, those are things. And I was thinking about how the thought here about God's mercies being fresh every morning. In other words, they're not recycled. They're new and they're fresh every morning. And it's not that they're different, because God is the same and his faithfulness it remains. But every morning when we get up, we can lay hold again of his mercies, and they're new and fresh. And something for us to consider at the beginning of our day, maybe that's a good a good way that it's stated here, that they're fresh every morning. Nothing better than waking up in the morning and thinking about God's mercies and God's faithfulness every morning. Now, I started looking into that word, and it took me off on a little bit of a tangent, but we're going to go there anyway, because I thought this was interesting. We're going to go to Psalm, the 40th Psalm. So this word is used in different places in slightly different ways, but I found this to be interesting. So I'm just going to read from the first verse of the 40th Psalm here. Again, the psalmist has kind of a way of putting things that can make you really think about it. He says in verse 1 of Psalm 40, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, I've read this verse probably 100 times in my lifetime at least. And it's a fairly well-known verse, I think. But I never really thought about this, but you notice that he never says when he inclined and heard his cry. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. We don't know how long it took before he realized that God was going to answer him. But he knew, because he states this right up front, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And I appreciate that kind of faith, by the way. This is part of the thing I wanted to kind of get to here today as well. Our trust in the Lord. So when we cry unto him, we can say in that moment, he inclined and heard my prayer. Now, we may not see the answer to that prayer right away, or maybe even for some time, but we can say by faith, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And this is a really great picture that he paints here. I've always appreciated this because, well, where we live now, there's a terrible clay out there. But when we were in Paraguay, where Brother Cecil Royalty pastored for a lot of years, they have this red clay there. It's kind of like the stuff that's down in Oklahoma. And it's the nastiest stuff in the world. And if it gets wet, you know, it rains, you can go out and walk in that. And by the time you go just 20, 30 feet, you'll have this much mud on the bottom of your shoes, and it'll weigh about five times what it's supposed to. It's terrible. And it's sticky, so you can get stuck in it if it's wet enough. We were out some time ago. This is at my cousin's house down southeast Kansas, but there's some clay down there too. And we were out in the field, and it had rained a lot. And the field had been plowed prior to the rain, and so that loose clay with all that water. We got out in there. We were trying to help a person out of the, they were stuck in the mud. And so I was walking out to help hook things up. And I have boots on. I have rubber boots that come up to my knees almost. And I left one of them out there somewhere because I got down in the mud and it grabbed me and stuck. And so when I read this verse, see, these are pictures that I can relate to. Out of the miry clay, that's what that word miry means, that it sticks and grabs you. And it says, he brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and established my goings. When you walk on a rock, by the way, nothing's sticking to your feet. The rock is clean. It's sturdy. You're not going to sink into it. I love these pictures that the psalmist paints. And then it says in verse 3, and he says this, he hath put a new song in my mouth. Not necessarily a different song. I thought about this because, you know, often when we're wanting to sing specials, we're looking for a new song, you know, something I haven't sung before. But I don't think that's necessarily the idea here, something new in that sense, but a fresh song. In other words, you know, we sing songs over and over again often in our congregation, and also even when I sing a special, I'm often singing a song that I've sung before. But you can pick up a song, or we can pick a song out of the hymnal and sing a song that we sing many times, and it's still fresh. It's new in that sense. And I think that's really what he's talking about here. Put a new song, a fresh song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And this is the purpose, if you will. The song is unto the Lord, and it comes from our heart. But the psalmist writing this and expressing this is so that others can see and know, and they can also trust in the Lord. And then he says in verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And so the Lord can bring a new song to our hearts. And so I thought about this. I was thinking about Lamentations and that new fresh mercies every morning, and how that can translate into this, right? A new song, a fresh song in our heart unto the Lord. Because we recognize his mercies are fresh and new every morning. just going to do a couple more psalms here. 96 psalm. By the way, there were quite a few of these in the psalm, and so I just picked out a few of them that struck me. 96 psalm in verse 1, it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Sing unto the Lord a new song. This is almost like an encouragement to us, right? Go sing a new song unto the Lord. Now, you know, some people say, well, I can't sing. And that's okay. I appreciate those that have the ability to sing well. I love music. And I know God does too, but more than that, God loves the music that comes out of our heart. And so you say, I can't sing. Well, that's okay. God can still put a song in your heart to sing unto him. Psalm 144. Psalm 144 and verse 9. Verse 9, he says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. And so David, and you can tell, of course, by David's writings, David had a new song. Now, the interesting thing about that is a lot of the psalms have similarities to them, meaning David didn't come up with something completely original necessarily all the time, but there was always something in David's heart. I envision, this is just my own opinion here, by the way, that David was a person who really loved music. He could play an instrument, probably had a good voice. They really loved music. And you can see that in his writings. And also, as you if you study his life, you'll see that he just really wanted there to be music. Because David felt, as do I, that music belongs to the Lord. Whether you can sing good or not, that still belongs to the Lord. It's still praise. And every morning when we wake up, there should be a fresh song in our heart. You know, it doesn't have to be a different one, but it should be fresh because we recognize in the morning as we get up that his mercies are fresh that morning. They're new, a new thing. You know, just from the perspective, from the human perspective, just waking up in the morning, by the way, is God's mercies. None of us are guaranteed to wake up tomorrow morning. And so just waking up in the morning is of God's mercy. Not everybody recognizes that, but those of us that know better, not only should we recognize it, but we should acknowledge it in our life and in our praise to him. Okay, one more in Psalm 149. Verse 1, Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. A new song of praise in the congregation. In other words, when we gather with God's people, there also should be a song in our heart there as well. Like I said, I enjoy and love music. I know that Erlene does too. She likes the songs, and especially those that will bring a song. Sometimes I find songs, and I you know, I think that it's important, by the way, that our songs have a good message, and they do. And sometimes it's good to just kind of read the song. I know Erlene's done that a few times. I know Jack would do that once in a while. Just read through the song just to kind of really get the words. Because they really, again, as much as I enjoy a good tune, a good tune is important as well. I like that. But really, the words are what really makes the difference. And our songs should be of praise unto him. They should speak about his faithfulness. They should speak about his mercies. They should speak about his goodness. And having a conversation with my brother some years ago, we were talking about songs and how some of the songs that are Christian songs talk more about the person singing the song than about the Lord. It's okay, you know, the psalmist speaks about himself at times and his condition, but it always turns back to praising the Lord. Because whatever we can say about ourselves, it should have something to do with God's faithfulness and his mercy in our lives. And so I appreciate this thought about the new thing. I'm going back to Lamentations, by the way, because I want to read that again. But this thought about there anew every morning. And then he just inserts this statement, great is thy faithfulness. And that one grabbed my attention a lot as I studied through this because, again, remember that up above this, just a few verses up above this, he's speaking about a terrible condition that he's in. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And then just a couple verses later, great is thy faithfulness. And I especially was interested in the two things coming together, the two thoughts, if you will, coming together. They clearly have been under God's correction, and yes, in a sense, it was quite severe to be overrun by their enemies. Jerusalem was basically in ruins. Things had been taken from the temple. It's a terrible situation that they found themselves in. But in the midst of that, he reminds us of these things, which are God's mercies and compassions and God's great faithfulness. Um, I'm going to start. I had a different order here, but I'm going to go back to Psalm for just a minute. 119th Psalm. I just want to notice this statement by David, because it reminds me that we have to be careful, because sometimes our human tendency is to equate God's faithfulness with the good times, right? Man, things are going really well for me now, and God's so faithful. And that's good, by the way, because that's true. And nothing wrong with that. It's a true statement. But the real question is, when things aren't going so well, and I kind of grabbed my attention when Tom was speaking this morning. What do we say then? Do we still say that God's faithfulness is great? In the 119th Psalm in verse 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And that's a very interesting statement, one that people don't like to think about too much. This is a sidebar. I read my friend George, he wrote, and he attributed it to Mark Twain. I don't know, I didn't go look that up, but this statement, let's see if I can get it right. It's not the things in the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the things that I do understand. And I thought that was an interesting statement. I thought about that for a little while. I was like, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? The stuff that, this is fairly easy and straightforward, right? There's nothing hidden in this statement that I can think of. He says, I know that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. That's a pretty straightforward statement. Another interesting thing that I found, this word faithfulness, it means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, steadiness, all those things. But there are places in the scripture where the usage of it, and again, I'm no scholar of Hebrew, so don't think, I'm telling you things that I read. But, you know, the Hebrew language, as a lot of languages are, especially the older languages, the usage of the word in its context has a lot to do with the actual meaning of the word. So one word can mean multiple different things based on the context of its usage. And this same word, in a few places, is used to refer to God's word. Isn't that interesting? That the word that here is translated faithfulness, and it means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, has all these meanings. And in some places, it refers to God's word. And I thought the, again, bringing those two things together really reminded me, you know, God is faithful. And when we read God's word, we find that it is faithful, right? It's steadfast. It doesn't change. Man, people so much today want to change God's word because they don't like what it says. It's that part that they do understand, I think, is the problem, right? That's the thing that bothers them. And they want to change, but God's word is faithful. And I appreciate that. It is an extension, if you will, of God's faithfulness, because if God's word wasn't faithful, then what could we say about God's faithfulness, right? And if God is faithful, then how would we not expect his word to be faithful? You see what I'm getting at here? These two things are inextricably linked. You can't separate them out. God's faithfulness extends to the things that he says. And so, when his word says, and thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me, we need to understand that. I'm going to read the next verse, by the way, because that would be terrible to leave you with just that thought. Because again, these two things, they really seem to always come together. Verse 76 says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. I am so glad that God knows how to help us understand. There are times when we are in affliction, and that is God's faithfulness. we need to understand that and be careful about our natural tendency often is to think, well, God has abandoned me, or God is not paying attention anymore, or, you know, things such as that. But we need to remember that God is faithful in all things. Amen. The afflictions, even though they're not the things that we like, they have a purpose. We heard that this morning. I think that was a very good introduction this morning. That God has a purpose. He's working something mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yes.
And it will be significantly better if we recognize in the midst of that God's faithfulness. And bring a new song, a fresh song in our heart. Psalm 89. Since we're in the Psalm, let's just go to Psalm 89. A couple of familiar places here. I'm only going to read this today because this is our psalm for this evening. Lord willing, if we're still here. Psalm 89, verse 1. He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And this is actually a good statement because we find that in eternity, we will be still singing about his mercies. We will still be singing about his faithfulness, what he has done. And so, by the way, there is a new song there as well. If you go to the book of Revelation, you find they sing a new song. And it tells us some of the words of that song. I don't know if that's the whole song or not, but we'll find out when we get there. But there's a new song there. And that song is still, see, it's not new in that it's different in content or in what it really says, but it's new because it's fresh. And frankly, as much as we might enjoy some music here and enjoy a good song of praise to the Lord, I have a feeling that on the other side it'll be even more so. I think we're really going to enjoy that song there. And so we can practice here. It'd be good. Psalm 92. And this is a slightly different statement here that I think is really good to think about. Psalm 92, again, starting in the first verse. He says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, from morning to night. And notice this thought here about showing forth. And I think we need to think about that a little bit because that means it's something that others can see. To me, I think this relates to our attitude. It's easy, depending on where you work, I guess, and what your situation is, it's easy sometimes to be pretty down about things that are going on. You know, you can go to work and just complain about the day. I prefer to think about what God is doing in that day. Don't get me wrong. My job has the same issues as most other people's jobs. There's all sorts of things that happen that are difficult and not much fun. But, sometimes people say, well, how are you doing today? I'll say, I'm doing really good. And I'll ask somebody else, and they say, I'm doing really good. I'm thankful to have a job. You know, just some simple statement. I work with a lot of believers, and I appreciate that because I see a lot of that attitude because of that. One man, if you ask him how he's doing, he'll always say, living the dream. That's kind of his statement. He views whatever it is that God has allowed him to have and to be able to do as the dream. Basically, it's good. And I appreciate that. You know, our attitude that other people see, it should show forth God's loving kindness and his faithfulness. How am I doing? well, God's been faithful to me. Not just yesterday, not just 20 years ago, but every day, every morning, every day, all day. God is faithful, and we can show that forth. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. I want to get into the New Testament for just a minute. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I think I'll start in verse 11. I really want to get down to verse 13 here, but 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The real thought in this verse has to do with the fact that our attitude towards God and his faithfulness doesn't change his faithfulness. You might have heard somebody say this, but just because you don't believe in gravity doesn't mean you can jump off a building. It will still affect you because it's that way. Just because if for some reason we choose not to believe in God's faithfulness, well, that doesn't change his faithfulness. It only changes our attitude, and it's a really bad idea. But it doesn't change him. He cannot, notice that, he cannot deny himself. In other words, he can't be any other way than what he is. Now, if I say about some person that I don't trust in them, that might or might not be true. And it might be true now and not true later. People change. We're wishy-washy sometimes. But that's not true about God. He cannot. He is the same. In fact, I didn't put this one there, but Hebrews, he tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unchanging. Let's go to Hebrews. But we're going to go to the second chapter of Hebrews. Because I just really appreciate this thought. I think it's so foundational for God's people to understand this. Hebrews, the second chapter, and verse 17. It says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them also that are tempted. Merciful and faithful high priest. See, sometimes those that don't understand, they think, well, the Lord doesn't understand my situation. He doesn't understand what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. And that's just not true. Not only because, by the way, I want to say this, I guess. Not only because he came here, but he made us. Is there really something about us that we think he doesn't know? He made us. But in coming here, Jesus made it clear and proved, if you will, that he understands our condition and our situation. Because literally, in a human body, he went through the same kinds of things. This is going to be opinion right here, okay? I'm just saying it right up front. I don't think he needed to do that to understand us and to be a faithful high priest. I think he needed to do that so that we would know that he is a faithful and merciful high priest. Because our old nature would just say, well, he's God. He doesn't know anything about what I'm going through here. But he didn't leave it to that. No. He came and he went through these things. And again, in a human body, a frail human body, by the way. And the way we know that is because he died on a cross, just like any other human body would have under those conditions. So he suffered. And he knows, he understands. So he can be a merciful and faithful high priest. I'm going to go back to Lamentations for just a minute, because I want to touch on one more thing before my time is up this morning. Back to that third chapter. I want to touch on the 24th verse just briefly. He says, "The Lord is my portion." The word portion, it has the meaning of an inheritance, something that belongs to us. And I really thought about this, you know, and it goes so well with what we kind of started out with this morning, but our priorities, we have to be careful that they not get misaligned. Tom said a lot of this really well this morning. But he says, "The Lord is my portion." In other words, the Lord is the thing that matters to me. Because out of all the things that could be had, he's the one that belongs to me and it's mine. And I kind of enjoyed that. Now, I'm not going to turn, but in Psalm 16, the psalmist says this. He says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup." And he says, "Thou maintainest my lot." And then he goes on to say, "The lines are fallen to me in good places." This thought here, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul." He says, "Therefore will I hope in him." Now, he established for us God's mercies and his compassions and his great faithfulness. And then he says, "That's my portion." And that brings hope. And this, the word hope, as you know, the word hope really has the thought about patiently waiting for something. We haven't come to the place yet where where that inheritance has become literally ours. It's ours by faith. It is ours by provision. It's there. But we haven't quite made it to that place yet. Some people have, by the way. Some have gone on to their reward. But in our life here, this is an attitude. This is about our faith, what we believe, what we trust in. Right? "The Lord is my portion." He says, "Therefore will I hope in him." I'm going to wait patiently on him. And what this does is this sort of overrides all of the affliction that was up above. Not that it goes away, not that it didn't exist, but knowing that the Lord is my portion makes it worthwhile. I'm hoping in him. My hope is in him. Not in the things that are happening to me here and not in the difficulties of this life. Those are part of what God is working, but my hope is in him. He is my portion. I want to go to Jeremiah 10 real quick, and we're going to quit after this one, but I just want to read in Jeremiah 10 something. Well, let's see, where am I going to start here? I think I'll start in verse 14 of this. Jeremiah 10, verse 14 says, "Every man is brutish in his knowledge." That word means very low, I guess, in his knowledge, very uneducated. I don't know a good way to say it. But anyway, "Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name." I like this thought. The portion of Jacob is not like them. In other words, he's not like those graven images, those idols, because he's the one that forms everything, including the stuff they made their images out of. That's the portion of Jacob. He's also our portion. He's not like any of those things that the world offers. He's not like any of the idols that occupy our life sometimes. But the question really is, do we know that he's my portion? See, that's what Jeremiah says there in Lamentations. He says, he's my portion. The Lord is my portion. That's what the psalmist also said. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. And so every one of us has to lay hold of that personally for ourselves. Can we say, truly say, that his faithfulness is great every morning, his mercies are new every morning? Can we? Something to think about. When you get up in the morning, you can think about that now. Are God's mercies new this morning? Are they fresh? I hope so. The things of life have a way of getting in our way, annoying us, and other such things. And we have to be careful about allowing that to overtake our attitude. But if we'll consider in the morning when we start our day, and by the way, it doesn't matter what time you start your day, some people earlier than others, but whatever time you start your day, just consider that God's mercies are new. They're fresh right then. And at night, we can show forth his faithfulness again to others. All day long, God is faithful. I am so glad that Jeremiah wrote these things. In the middle of a very difficult part of life, and it can't be understated because you can read it in that first part of that chapter, but and right in the middle of that, here comes God's mercies. And a remembering of that, and a remembering that God is our portion, not this world, not the things of this world. They come and go. Most of you, if you pay attention to the news at all, you know that the market tanked this last week. The worst drop in the market since 2007. And I read an article that said, I don't know how many billionaires lost $444 billion in that week time. It's a lot of money. But on the other side, we have the promises of our faithful Father that he takes care of us and that he provides. Those things can be disturbing, especially if that's all the hope you have is in that. It can be pretty disturbing. But not to us, because that's not our portion. I appreciate what God has given us to have here, to use, to live, to survive. But that stuff's not our portion. That's just temporary. And we have to be careful about being drawn in by it, because it will draw us in sometimes. But every morning we can wake up and know that God's mercies are new. And then sing a new song. Sing a fresh song. It can be the same song you sang yesterday. It's okay. I'm going to quit. Are there any questions or comments this morning?
He does all things right.
Yes, he does. Amen. Everything in our life that he does is right and is faithful. And I appreciate knowing that. I really think that we have to be reminded of that, because I think the enemy's on the other side, by the way, reminding us of the other side of that, right? Like, just look what happened to you. Didn't he come and want to go against Job? Yeah, he did. And he does that to us. Look what happened to you. Where's your God now? Right? And we have to be reminded. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Even in those times of affliction. Amen. So thankful. Let's stand.